Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like
Jesus. Loving Father, again you've heard our declaration, and it is our desire to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be able to put aside everything that would rob us from victory in Christ. We ask now that you would bless each one of us. You know our needs, attend to them according to your will. And be with me as I bring the message this morning. In the worthy name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. I want us to consider this morning Matthew's gospel, telling about the fulfillment of Michael's prophecy in chapter 5 of Michael. I also want to share with you some of the lessons from the Christmas story. So let me invite you to turn to Matthew's gospel, Chapter 2. The first lesson that we would learn from the Christmas story is that God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. In Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him.'" You see, Jesus, as we look at Bible prophecy, we see that Jesus was born exactly at the right time, exactly in the right place, and the wise men came just at the right time and just in the right place. Do you think that was a coincidence? I don't think so. The second lesson that we might learn. The first lesson is God's timing is perfect. The second lesson from the Christmas story is God's enemies are treacherous. God's enemies are treacherous. Starting in verse 3 through verse 8. "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" God's enemies are treacherous. We know that it was Satan himself that was working through Herod. And Herod would do everything he could to destroy the Lord Jesus, including trying to deceive the wise men. Can you imagine, with sanctified imagination, can you imagine what it must have been like when the shepherds come knocking on the door of Herod's palace and says, "We have come to worship, we've come to meet with this new king who is to be a ruler in Israel." And for some reason or other, I think Herod's jaw dropped down on his chest. The, that particular meeting because he knew absolutely nothing about it. Can you imagine him thinking that these Israelites were secretly rearing someone or training someone to be king in Israel? And of course, this king obviously at some time would dispose of him. So Herod set about immediately to find out who this king was, where he was born, but he had an ulterior motive. It wasn't to worship him, but to kill him. He even tried to deceive the wise men. The third lesson that we find in the story, that God's servants are faithful, and the servants of God at that particular time were the wise men. And of course, God's servants are faithful to go. Down in verses 9 and 10, it says, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." You see, God's servants are faithful to share. God's servants are faithful with their obedience. That's good lessons to learn, isn't it? They were faithful to go. Can you imagine a star in the east? Some 2 years before, they saw this star. With sanctified imagination, maybe it was that group of angels that came to the shepherds that night in the hills of Bethlehem and announced the birth to the shepherds. Maybe they saw these angels streaking through the sky, and they knew that it was something out of harmony with what was happening in the cosmos, and they began to follow that star. They were faithful. They were faithful to share. The wise men, they departed not only from their own country, but when they heard Herod's request, they went on to find the baby in Bethlehem. But of course, when the wise men arrived, he wasn't a baby, he wasn't an infant, he was a child now, probably 2 years of age. You see, when you look at Luke's gospel, Luke writes the account of the birth of Jesus in the stable, and they laid him in the manger and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. But when the wise men came, he was a young child, probably 2 years of age, probably walking and talking at this particular time. And they came and they shared of their wealth. They brought the gold and the myrrh and the frankincense. They brought their gifts. And of course, these gifts were used by Mary and Joseph to support them. Just follow the story now. Let's move on to verses 13 through 23, and then the fourth lesson is God's protection is powerful. God's protection is powerful. Starting in the 13th verse. "Now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee and came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." God's protection is powerful. God warned Joseph by warning Joseph in a dream to take the young child and his mother to Egypt until after the death of Herod. God's protection is powerful. He looked out to these wise men. He sent an angel to speak to them and told them to go back to your own country. Go by another route. Do not go back and see Herod. And they obeyed. God's servants are faithful. They obey him. God's servants share what they have. God's protection in warning Joseph and Mary to take the young child to Egypt till after the death of Herod. And while they were in Egypt, again the angel appears, telling them that Herod is dead, now you can go back. But when they got back, God's protection was still with them, because in a dream, when Joseph realized that Archelaus, Herod's son, was on the throne, he was afraid to go back to Bethlehem because he thought that Archelaus would take vengeance because of his father. So they listened to the angel and they went to Nazareth, where Jesus was brought up. Are there any lessons for us in the Christmas story? I believe the same lessons that was presented to the people of that particular day, these lessons are valuable to us today. God's timing is perfect. We too were born at the right time and in just the right place, and at the right time we responded to the hearing of salvation's message. And at this right time, someone like these wise men, you see, gave us the needed help. I remember when the voice of prophecy came to the little fishing village in which we lived in Newfoundland. God's timing was perfect. The message moved our hearts. And Don and I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The time was right in that it was an opportunity was presented that I could attend the Canadian Union College at that particular time. God's enemies are treacherous. I was so excited about the fact that we had given our hearts to Jesus and that I wanted to follow in His footsteps, that Satan, and I want to tell you folks, Satan will do anything and use anyone or all to do all that he can to destroy us physically and to deceive us spiritually. When we became members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or said that we were going to become members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who do you think was our enemy? The devil was using my father. Do you know what my father said to me when I told him that I was going to be baptized into Seventh-day Adventist Church? He scoffed at the idea, and he said, "Young man, if you go there and is baptized into that church, I will be there that morning at the baptism with my shotgun, and I'll shoot you and the preacher." And my father usually did what he said he was going to do. And I remember him, he tried to reason with me. He says, "You could be just as good a Christian in the Episcopal Church." He says, "You can go into the priesthood. We can send you to the seminary." He made all these promises, but the fact remained that he wasn't going to allow me. And now, folks, I am 26 years old. Living on my own, we were married for 5 years. We had Trevor, he was what, 2 or 3 years old? Two years old at this time. And he was going to tell me what I could or could not do. Oh, folks, I dug my heels in and I was defiant. I went to the church that morning and I was baptized. And praise the Lord, my father didn't show up. For two years, we were estranged. We hardly spoke to each other. Now, my dad wasn't... No, I won't say that. But my dad, he loved Trevor. He loved his grandson. And of course, it was shortly after we were baptized in February. By June, we could stand it no more. But all by that particular time, I had decided by God's grace that I was going to go to Canadian Union College in Alberta, drive just about clear across the country. And we were away, and my mom would call, or we would talk, we would write a letter. And Dad always wanted to know how Trevor was doing. He didn't care about me. He didn't ask about me. Wanted to know how Trevor was doing. And finally he came to the place where he says, "Bring Trevor. We want to see him." And we were able, it was because of Trevor and his love for Trevor that it broke down the wall of separation between us. And from that time on, we have had a wonderful relationship. God's enemies are treacherous, but God's enemies can be within your own family. God's enemies can be your co-workers or your friends. So when you give your life to God, you have to stand fast. God's servants are faithful. We desire to go. We desire to share what we have. We desire to be obedient. God's protection is powerful. God places an edge about us to protect us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He provided us with the printed word. You know, every day I can come and talk with Jesus. I can get encouragement. I can get wisdom. I can get guidance from Him. And I can find it in the Word. I choose, I determine, I desire by God's grace where I'm going to spend eternity. That's not something that's left up to someone else. God's protection is powerful. He provides the printed word. He gives us a guardian angel. He provides us with physical. He provides for all our physical and spiritual needs. You know, since we have given our hearts to Jesus, we have never missed a paycheck. We have never had a hungry day. We have never been out without gas in our automobile. God takes care of His people. There are also lessons that we can learn from the wise men. Have you considered the wise men? How wise are you? There are many wise people mentioned in the Bible. There was Enoch. He walked with God. In fact, Enoch was blameless and God took him. He didn't even see death. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ruth, one of another nation, she was a Moabitess. Ruth was wise enough to say to her Jewish mother-in-law, "For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." David wrote the Psalms. Abraham, a wise man, was the father of many nations. Andrew, one of the disciples, he was wise enough to bring others to Jesus. And of course, the wise men from the east came to Jesus at just the right time with the right gifts, the gold, the myrrh, and the frankincense. When God told Joseph to go down into Egypt, it was the gold that sustained them. He used the incense in worship. And the myrrh was used to treat cuts and bruises, disease. The gifts came just at the right time from the wise men. There's still wise men today. God is still looking for wise men and women who will imitate the qualities of the wise men found in Matthew chapter 2. Wise men still seek Him. Wise men still come. Wise men still worship. Wise men still give. And wise men still listen. It is my prayer, like the wise men of old, that we would be faithful, that we would be obedient, that we would share what we have with others, that we would witness even to kings and prelates. They need to know Jesus. And we now are His eyes, His arms, His feet. His mouthpiece. We tell. We are the helping hands. We are His feet to run errands, to go visit, to do what Jesus would do. May God bless us, is my prayer. In His name, amen.